For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In the city. Like right now, Mickey just told you in the previous interview that they're not going to be going after free agents, being very aggressive this year or next year. And he talked about the cap situation, the Saints cap situation. So it'll be interesting to see how they adjust. And of course, you have your adversaries and people around you watching, gathering talent. We'll see how they do in the draft. And they are appearing, you know, there's a lot of questions because when you add a new offense in what you're doing, and like when free agency happened, I was like, okay, let's see the Saints going to free agency and see if they can pick up personnel that helps on the offensive side. Because really, and we can agree upon this, the problem with the Saints last year wasn't entirely defense. The offense wasn't there in a lot of these games. Like early on, a lot of the offense wasn't consistent. We couldn't run the ball consistently. You know, there was always some type of breakdown where the quarterback was thrown to an area that the wide receiver wasn't, and there was always miscommunication. It happened late, well into the later of the year until right probably the last month of the season. So you would kind of think that the offense need more help than the defense needed more help in free agency. That was my mindset. Y'all tell me if y'all agree upon that with me. Like traditionally, we always look at the offense and say, listen, we need to focus on the offense because the offense needs to score a certain amount of points for us to be successful. We have to make sure we're able to run the ball. We have to spend money in the trenches and get guys that we can bring in here who can run the ball. That was my thinking. My thought process was that. I was saying, man, we need to do it. But what we do? When we come out in free agency, we get a bunch of guys on defense. And I'm saying to myself, okay, I like Gay. I like Willie Gay. I like Chase Young. You know, I do. A healthy Chase Young. I like that. But what about the offensive line? Aren't we supposed to be installing a new system with Clint Kubiak? We fired Carmichael because the offense stunk. The offense was the biggest, was one, it, I would have to say it was bigger than the defense stinking. But we don't go into free agency. We don't go after any veteran offensive linemen except for Ali Udo. And they got him well late. You got all these offensive guards. You got all these offensive tackles, veterans. Shorter learning curves than a rookie. And if you want to pick up people, you would want to slide that personnel or whatever limited cap resources you had in free agency toward adding talent to the offense. We didn't do that. Now we did get Cedric Wilson, but does he really move the indicator there? I've seen articles and I agree with most of these people that just because the Saints signed Cedric Wilson doesn't mean we shouldn't go after somebody else, you know, and they saying in the draft. All I can say is when you install a new offense, we knew the offense was a problem last year in terms of the offensive line. They couldn't block anybody consistently. So what do? We bring one guy in here who might basically be the new James Hurst. It's basically what Ali Udo is. He's a swing guy. He can be the guard or tackle. He's basically James Hurst when he first came here. But you need starters. You need a guy at the left tackle position. We don't have a starting left tackle currently. And free agency is, you know, well into it. And a lot of the top guys and even some of the second guys underneath them are gone. And we just like, oh, we're going to be fine. We got it going on. No, you don't. We need to focus offensively speaking. Now, we added Cedric Wilson. We added the kid Stanley Morgan Jr., who's a special teams guy. And credit to me, I do like Cedric Wilson. But Cedric Wilson is just, to me, is a guy. All right, I can hear y'all now. All right, so anyway, like I was saying, fam, I got this damn mic holder right here. All Right, so anyway, like I was saying, it just it don't look right to me. A lot of the stuff that I was seeing in terms of the offensive line, it's just you got all this stuff going on offensively, and it appeared that the Saints are going to address this stuff when it gets to the draft. I don't know what to think about that. You know, I don't know what to think about. I don't know because I was confused this whole free agency period. I was waiting for a signing. A left tackle. We need a tackle. Left tackle. Who's going to play left tackle for the Saints? Who's going to play left tackle? Yeah. All right. So here we go, fam. Sorry about that. But yeah, we haven't. I don't know what we haven't with this whole situation with the free agency. So like I said, a lot of people gave the Saints a B here. A lot of fam, like I'm going to bounce back to the poll question. Like, what grade do you give the Saints so far in free agency? People, 3% gave them an A. 32% of the voters gave them a B. And 42% of the people gave them a C, and 23% says need improvement. So a lot of people are basically giving them the C grade, says, you barely pass. Here goes a C, a D barely pass, but C, here's a C for the Saints grade. And they kind of explained that today. But like I said, the biggest stuff that I was focusing on was the offensive line stuff. Our line is still bum. It's still incomplete. I don't feel comfortable with Ryan Ramczyk going into the new year. I don't feel comfortable with the left tackle or the left guard. James Hurst restructured his contract, took a pay cut because James Hurst is deteriorating. So is James Hurst going to battle Ali Udo for the left guard position? Is that what we're going to do? What about Penning? What happens with Penning? So a lot of it, I guess, the Saints are going to focus on in the draft. I see about getting assets that way. So I thought veterans first, but it is what it is. All right. Dennis ain't shaking nobody, brother. He apologizing and everything. All right, Demetri, shout out. Says thanks again, Houdat Nation, for getting rid of Ritter and AS. We should, we could have never done it without y'all. That's a smart move, keeping Dennis. We wish. Yes. We can't even brag anymore, fam. But you know what, though, bro? You know what, Demetrius? Y'all going to do us a favor this year. I promise you that, brother. Y'all going to take care of it for us this year. All right. But, yeah, this is very interesting, man. I don't know. I would have to agree with the Houdat Nation. I would give him a C. I think B is a little generous. I thought I would give him a B if Chase Young without an injury. But Chase Young with neck surgery, it takes the luster off of it because that's a serious thing, man, even though they might tell you, there's nothing wrong with him. Bro, listen, when you talking about having neck surgery, that's not a good thing, fam. That's tied to one of the most sensitive portions of parts of your body, to your back and all this kind of stuff. Ask a doctor. I pulled up, I think on the TSC Q&A live, the last one we did last Tuesday, I pull up, medical journals. That's what I do from time to time when they start dropping this stuff on us. You know, some of the verbiage can kind of get over our head. So what I do is I just start pulling out information from the medical journals and start going through it to see what's really going on, the timeline, because they'll tell you the timeline. We'll go look at the timeline, what it actually says. And I covered all that on the last TSC show. We talked about, you know, what's going on there. What could it possibly be and how long would it take for it to heal? All this kind of stuff, man. It's really crazy. But yeah, it kind of took the luster off of the signing. Like I would have gave him a B with Chase Young healthy. With an unhealthy Chase Young with a neck issue, and they saying he should be ready for the season. I kind of slide him down to a C. Healthy Chase, B. Unhealthy Chase, C. Bottom line. All right, y'all, throw a few questions in the chat, man. I'm getting ready to get up out of here. All right, Scoop says, where's Mickey Loomis? Where's the Mickey Loomis who traded Graham for Unger? I trusted that Loomis. Didn't see the vision, but sure appreciated the result. That Mickey Loomis, the reason why you ain't seen that Mickey Loomis, brother Scoob, is simple. Because Sean Payton was involved with that. Sean Payton was involved with that Mickey Loomis. And that's why, my brother, you don't see that Sean Payton anymore. I mean, that Mickey Loomis anymore. A lot of that, not to disparage Mickey's role, but a lot of that was Sean Payton's vision. And Mickey just made it happen. So whatever he told him to do, he did it. It's like having a world-class painter that's working for you and you having them working, you know, painting houses for you. And you just say, hey, man, we going to take this and put it like this and then move that over there. And then you going to do this. And he do everything you say to perfection. And then, you know, he'd be like, yeah, that's Mickey Loomis. That's Mickey Loomis. But Mickey Loomis is only as good as his head coach. Think about what I just said. Mickey Loomis is only as good as his head coach. Only as good as his head coach. Think about what I'm saying. Think about that. He's only as good as his head coach. Because he's not telling the head coach, hey, listen, hold on, guy, listen. I see what you're doing there. But we can do a lot better if you would take this and put this over here and we'll do this. And ain't like the guy can say, you know what, Mickey, shut up. This is my team. Get your ass out of here. He can't tell Mickey that's his boss. But Mickey is going to do whatever the head coach tells him to do. He's not going to step ahead of the coach and tell him such and such, such and such. Now, with Dennis Allen in this year here, you can see how the Saints are setting it up with certain contracts expire after a year, like they signed a 1 year deal, because the future of this current administration and what the Saints are looking like is hinging on Dennis Allen and how this team is going to do this year. And it's still yet to be determined. So that's why he's only as good as his head coach. If he has Sean Payton, you've seen he was just doing magnificent stuff. But with Dennis Allen, not so magnificent. He's only as good as his head coach. He will not overstep the head coach. Remember that. That's his role. He never oversteps the coach. Never. All right, Darwin says, Q, do you think we go OT with the fourth pick, the 14th pick? I would say, bro, I would say you should go 14th with the pick, because they'll have somebody there. Not all of those guys. They got like 1, 2, 3, like 4 or 5. It's like 5 really top rated guys. Now, Tyler Guyton is a guy that's, they think is a first rounder, but they're thinking Guyton from Oklahoma might be a guy that slides like, you know, toward the back end of the first round. But they have like 4 really top 15 guys that should go inside the top 15. You know, you're thinking Joe Alt probably goes number 1. Fashanu from Penn State, he's going to go in the top 5 or 6. Then you got guys like J.C. Latham. What's the other guy that, Fashanu from Penn State, Fuaga, Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. He's another guy. So there's a ton of really good tackles there. Some of those guys haven't played the left tackle position, but they're guys that you anticipate that can make the jump. You see? So yeah, there are guys there. A smart pick would be that, because to me, that's your biggest need you're currently facing. Now, if you did that in free agency, when got a veteran to occupy that position to protect Derek Carr's blind side, then you can kind of slide wherever you wanted to go in the with the pick. Now, listen, of course, there is, you know, some, I guess you could say, what is it? I guess some different, you know, changes, for lack of better words here. Now, say, for instance, a guy like your tight end from Georgia, Bowers. If Bowers is there, and I doubt he'll be there, I don't think Bowers is inside the top. You know, he leaves the top 10. I think Bowers is gone, because the word is out. He's very good. So if Bowers is there at 14, you got to take him, because he's a force. And you not only can use him as a tight end, but you can use him all around the field. You could use, I mean, he has all type of application, and he would be a really solid player to have in your offense, you know, along with Taysom, along with Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and others. But if he's gone, and then you have a guy like the ones I just mentioned, a Fashanu or a Talese Fuaga or a J.C. Latham, those guys there, man, you take those guys, because, you know, you can be able to kind of fill in. But then another question is, where's Trevor Penning in this? You can't just throw Penning away unless they decide to trade him. Where is Trevor Penning in this whole matrix? You know what I'm saying? That he can't just be disappeared. He ain't like a 5th or 6th round guy. He's a 1st round draft pick. He has to reemerge and play somewhere. You got to use him somewhere. So Is there thinking about, hey, let's go back to Trevor Penning? I don't know, fam. But what I'm saying is he has to make his presence somewhere, because we just took a first, you know, a tackle who was supposed to play blindside. He failed. And now we can't lose. We can't use Ryan Ramczyk. And the key to it is move Ramczyk to left tackle. But they won't do that because Ram has a knee issue and they don't want to expose him over there because he'll get exposed. So what do? You know, so like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy how what kind of situation. But yeah, 14th pick should be an offensive tackle, to be honest with you. Reginald says, what if he can't play?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Big Q, we screwed. That's a big problem, brother. You know, that's what it comes down. That is the game, man. What's up, Ramsey? How you doing, sir? Go ahead and disparage it. Go ahead and disparage it. All right, I will, Jack, because Jack said so. Brother Slim, how you doing, sir? Says, do you see the Saints trading up to the top 10 in the draft? No, I don't see that, brother. I don't see them going up to the top 10. Who you think they're going to get, bro? It's a bunch of players I like during the first round. A lot of them. I don't know. Who would the Saints be going after with the top 10 pick? Who would they be that much in love with? Would you think they'll go up and get? I don't see them moving up to go and get a top 10 pick. I don't see who would they be in that much in love, or who they feel like, man, if we just got this guy, this one person, this player, this will complete our offense. I don't know. Unless they fall in love with a certain, maybe an offensive lineman they like, or maybe Bowers, if they like Bowers that much, to go and get him. I don't know. I would have to say no to that, my brother. I don't, and then it's still early on, but I haven't got any impressions about the Saints in love with any particular player at this time. They kind of seeing who, I guess they're going to do a whoever fall to them approach. What's up, Crusher? What's up, my boy? How you doing, sir? He says, a lot of all of our staff, we heavily influenced by Peyton. One could say Mickey Loomis has lost part of his identity without Peyton. I got you, brother. Thank you, man. Yeah, indeed, bro. They was together for a long time working together. And when Sean Peyton left, that's the very positive part of his game. Because Mickey Loomis and Sean Peyton was a awesome duo, because Sean Payton said, give me this. And Mickey Loomis says, okay, Sean, I got it, man. I'll go get it. I'll make it happen. And that's what happened. Now he doesn't have that. And Dennis Allen doesn't have nearly the same vision. Jack says they need to pick best available because we shoot ourselves. All right. Thank you. Jack Quaveda says they will trade up using one of those fifth round picks to get back. I agree with this. I agree with that, bro. They got what? Four. It's just crazy saying it, but they have 4 5th round picks. I can definitely see them trading a couple of those picks to get up into the fourth round. I could definitely see that. Reginald says draft full of tackles, offensive defense should get one. Indeed, bro. What's up? Myron says kick him inside to guard. Okay. Which side though? Which guard? The left guard position? I mean, you know, right guard is Cesar Ruiz. So you would have him competing. It'll be Trevor Penning competing with Ali Udoh and James Hurst for the left guard position. And then the left tackle would be whom? Who would the left tackle be? All right. Reginald says move Penning to guard. A lot of people saying that, man, but you know, I don't know, man. He never played guard before. And it's like, okay, Q, you know, we usually use our guys like that. That doesn't usually work for everybody. It don't usually work for everybody. And I think a lot of people been hard on him at left tackle, but what if he plays right tackle? You know, I don't know, man. I was the one that was saying this was wrong anyway. I was saying that they shouldn't have played him at left tackle. I was put one in the chat, if y'all remember me, years of saying that Trevor Penning shouldn't be a left tackle, a blindside tackle. You don't put and we knew Trevor Penning was a talented player, but it was a bad move. And of course, I was saying this before I knew the stint of Ryan Ramczyk, but if Ryan Ramczyk is in such dire straits that he can't play the left tackle position and the only thing he can stay is at the right tackle position, bro, we need to get rid of Ryan Ramczyk because we need a left tackle. And Ryan Ramczyk, even though they restructured his deal, he's still one of the top paid Saints offensive line wise. If he can't move from right to left, we need a left tackle. That needs to be Ryan Ramczyk. And if he can't, if he can play the right tackle, he could play the left tackle. Listen, I'm not taking nothing off of Ryan Ramczyk. If he can play the right, he can play the left. And if he gets exposed, then he don't need to be on the team. That's what I'm saying. Y'all agree with me on this? And I'm just saying, man, we can't protect them on. It's ain't no protection game, man, because ain't nobody else being protected. We can't protect all these people. A guy got to do his job. And if Ram can't play the left tackle, that's what we need. We need a veteran left tackle. Ramczyk should play. If he can play the right, he can play the left. And Penning, a young player with a lot of upside, they got more time in the game that's going to be able to play in the NFL a little longer than Ram. He would have to, I would say he should have been right tackle. That's how it should have been. They trying to protect Ramczyk by leaving him at the right tackle position. The thing is, there's no protection. You have to be able to do your job. If he gets exposed at the left tackle position, then he shouldn't be on the team because we need a left tackle. The Saints then already allow free agency. Some of the best offensive linemen that were available, the tackles that were available in free agency to pass them. They allowed them to be assigned by other people. Now, what do we do now? Go after another offensive lineman rookie when you got a Ram on your side playing on the right? And man, no, we're going to make Ram do his job. What's up, Chantel? She says, hey, Q, how do you like your backup QB? I like Jake Hayner just fine. You know, he's a cool dude, look like the dude, you know, on the movies. But if you talk about Peterman, man, it ain't too much to talk about with Nathan Peterman. I don't think we had created a highlight reel of some of his throws, and he don't look bad on the highlight reels. A lot of people are looking at Peterman with the interceptions and a half, but it's not like one of them things where we really excited about. We know the Saints signed Nathan Peterman because of his connections to Dennis Allen. It's the Raider connection. That's why he's here. That's why a lot of people kind of highlighting it, because there were other quarterbacks that I think probably were a little bit more competent or capable than a Nathan Peterman. And the reason why he's a Saint is because of the Saints and Raider ties. That's Dennis Allen. It's the Dennis Allen, you know, because when I found like, why would they take this guy? What's up with this? And then I said, went and looked at his statistics and who played for. And I looked at, I say he was with the Raiders, not realizing that he was Derek Carr's backup quarterback. And that's why he's here. You see, so a lot of people kind of called it, man. He looked at it, you know. Jack says a deep draft with all these QBs going early, something nice is going to fall to 14. Indeed, bro. A lot of quarterback starved teams up top there. You know, Chicago's going with Williams from USC. You know, New England. I mean, who's second? Washington. You know, Washington going to take a quarterback. They traded their guy, so they're going to take one. New England's going to take a quarterback, even though they're trying to say they want to trade out, the trade down and all this kind of nonsense to see what it's like. But, you know, ultimately they're going to take a quarterback. So that's some of the top players right there going. And then when it gets to what Arizona, I think is at four, they'll take a wide receiver, probably Marvin Harrison's son. And then it goes from there. But yeah, they have a lot of quarterback starved teams in the top, 10 picks. So yeah, you're absolutely right on that. You're going to see some slippage, as they say. All right. Myron also says draft one of the tackles in a draft. He said, it seems like the direction the team wants to go for the position. Yes, yeah, it's cheap. It's cheaper to do that than sign somebody, you know. Reginald says, yes, you did. Say, yeah, I've been saying that because it wasn't hard to tell, fam. Penning don't have quick reflexes. He can't handle fast pass rushes. He built to play inside. I don't know, bro. Remember, we talked about that. Last year, he has the athleticism and the temperament. I think the thing is, you remember the old adage about putting your players in positions to succeed. I don't have a doubt that he can learn the guard position. You're absolutely right. But I think they wanted to try to take advantage of his athleticism on the edge because he was a big athletic guy with strength and a temperament, but he struggled. And I knew he was going to struggle. And the Saints didn't really do him no service, man. And I'm wondering how bad off is Trevor Penning, because when he was struggling, he was talking about having confidence issues, and that you don't want to hear that from a young player. You want to hear, hey, man, listen, I'm having a tough year, but listen, I'm staying positive. I'm keeping my head in the game. I'm studying film. I'm working on my technique every day. You know, I'm just, I know it was a tough thing, but I'm coming. I got a lot to prove. Is Penning sounding like that now? I don't know. We haven't talked to him in a while. You know, the Saints totally just banished the guy to the nether realms. Well, you know, where would Superman to the Phantom Zone? That's what the Saints sent Trevor Penning to the Phantom Zone. You know, that's what Superman sent all his enemies, the worst ones that he can't deal with, Zod and all of them. Sent him to that. The Saints sent that boy to the Phantom Zone. We haven't heard from him in some time, baby. We don't know what's going on with him. Dharma said the Ram can play the left tackle spot. That would be, indeed, that's what I'm saying. If Ram is the dude, he's supposed to be the left tackle. When Terron Armstead left, they were supposed to switch him then. I know that's been a while, but that's when the switch was supposed to happen. Ram, when Terron Armstead, shout out to him, when Terron left to Miami, Ramchek should have been switched to the left tackle position. Instead, they drafted a rookie, and the rookie got it handed to him. But no credit, no blame went to Ramchek. Well, he got a banged up knee. We can't be having these guys on the team if they can't play, fam. I'm just keeping it a buck 15. If these guys can't play, they need not to be on the team. Corveda says, they saying Peterman has good smarts and abilities to become a coach, but none of that show on the field. Still got some time, right? Kai, what's up, Kai? How you doing, sir? All right. Arvin says should be a left tackle. Yeah, that's the biggest need. Oh, I keep pointing that out, though, fam. I always keep saying no excuse this year for Carr. He needs to be the veteran leader you sign. We'll see, bro. All right. How you doing, Colorado? Shout out to you, fam. Arvin says Carr will do well if the O-line blocks for him. And if the O-line gets better at run blocking, Carr got our offense to 9th in points per game with bad pass blocking and bad run blocking O-line. Remember how... Focus on how the Saints offense looked in the last month of the season. Big difference. Saints were running the ball better. Carr is more comfortable when he is operating off the back of the run. That's something we said all season long. They have to run the ball. And when they run the ball, he operates the play action. You've seen him. He does that really well. But he cannot carry the team by himself. We've seen that. Like, you got quarterbacks that will go out there and they'll will their team to win. That is not Derek Carr, especially in the first year. He doesn't know the system that well. And now he has to learn a whole new system again. Like your boy said from The Wire. Now, y'all think the Saints might trade? I'm a matter of fact, I'm going to put that on my, I'm going to throw that on the effects board. I'm going to find that. Shit. Put that on there. That's good. Clay Davis is his name. Clay Davis. Shit. Where my wire heads at, man? Arvin said, I don't believe Carr can win us a Super Bowl, but he doesn't deserve the criticism that he got from our family base. Bro, I think he deserved the criticism he got from the family base. No disrespect to you, bro. But I think he did. I think a lot, and I remember a lot of the things that Derek Carr was doing. Derek Carr was finger pointing. You know, he was doing a lot of finger pointing at me. Listen, I'm not one of them people that tell you, hey, man, we can't be doing all this finger pointing. The only way, how you going to find out who fucking up? I mean, excuse me. How you going to figure out who's screwing up? How you go find that out? How you go find it out, baby? Baby, I ain't doing it. Baby, how we gonna find it out? How we gonna do it if we don't find out who the culprit is? You know what I'm saying? He said, "Oh, finger pointing is bad." No. Only the person that's screwing up don't want the finger pointing to happen. Because the person that's handling their business, they don't care if you finger point or not. They know they're handling their business. It's the people that's not doing what they're supposed to do is the ones that don't want the finger pointed at them. That's the one that ain't doing it. So if you got he finger pointing, I don't have no problem with him finger pointing. But remember, when you point one, there's always how many? Three of them pointed back at you. Let's see, that's right, three of them. Three of them pointing at you. So if you're gonna point that finger, baby, you get ready to get whatever coming back at you. That's the bottom line. So, I mean, he was out doing his thing, saying and lying and saying that they got the point, the answers in the building, blaming people who wasn't really their fault. And it was really on him, not taking responsibility in most of the games until it was forced on him. He was doing a lot of stuff. I think he really deserved it. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, you might be saying, I know what you're saying, Arvin. You could be saying that that some people went overboard with it. And I agree with you on that. They did have a lot of people going overboard. But like I said, people recognize that if Carr's struggling and he takes the blame for everything, like, man, the team, it's my team. Like, listen, remember what happened with Jameis Winston? When Jameis Winston would have a problem, it didn't matter if Jameis had a good game or not. He might have not had an interception, but the team lost and he was the quarterback. He took the blame. It's a big difference when guys do it. And the reason why, because the quarterback, the leader of the team. If the team don't win, he's the leader of the team. He falls on the sword for everybody else. That's how it go. That's how it go for quarterbacks that gain that kind of respect. You know what I mean? But if you, I know what you mean. You might mean that some of the family base was a little too hard on him. Okay, he said the warp because of the greatness of Drew. No, you might have a certain contingent of people that might be comparing him to Drew Brees. Or are you saying they're a little spoiled? Expect the QB position, but I still want a Super Bowl. Carr can't win us the Super Bowl. I mean, he could in the right environment. I mean, anything possible.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.